I would like to express my sincerest condolences to you, the children of Michelle Woods, whom I have known so well for many years, Teresa and Kim and Michael, and your families, all the grandchildren. I understand that her siblings were not able to come, but my heartfelt condolences to them and assurance of prayers as well. To all of the other relatives and to fellow parishioners and friends as we mourn her loss. I always take great comfort from the words of the preface in the funeral mass. Indeed, every requiem mass, life is changed, not taken away. My dear brethren, it is so important that we remember what kind of life Jesus came to give us. He came to give us eternal life if we would but cooperate with his grace and faithfully obey all of his teachings. Indeed, you might say that this is the very essence of the gospel, the good news, that is, as gospel means. Our Lord came to save us so that we would not just live for this short life, which passes away, but rather to give us the means to live eternally with the very life of God and in the very presence of God and in union with him for all eternity. We know that the life of the body necessarily comes to an end. Are we not reminded of that every Ash Wednesday? When the death sentence upon us all is repeated, just as it was given to our first father, Adam. To him and to our first mother, Eve, after the fall, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. None of us can escape that. But our faith tells us that there is an eternity of happiness awaiting us if we persevere in following Christ, if we do not take for granted his redemption of us in the most painful sufferings and death upon the cross. Indeed, this is a boundless joy for us to reflect upon what Christ came to give to us. As I said, the life of the body necessarily comes to an end. This is why a funeral is always such a great grace for us. Our beloved departed say to us, in effect, today for me, tomorrow for you. We know not the day nor the hour, and we must always be ready. Our Lord gave more than one parable and more than one instruction to us all. Always be waiting, for we know not when we shall be summoned from this life. So every day of our lives should be lived as though it were our last. Don't put off till tomorrow what can and must be done today for the salvation of our souls, for the fulfillment of the mission that God has destined for all of us. We know that the soul exists, continues to exist. It cannot come to an end. It is spiritual. And it is sanctifying grace that makes the soul alive. And this is our great quest, should be our greatest goal in life, to preserve and increase the state of grace in our souls. We are blessed to know that Michelle Woods indeed strove to maintain and increase that grace in her soul by her faithful living of the Catholic faith. Indeed, that is what her life was about. And not only that, but of course, the family that she loves so much and so dearly. I remember her coming with her children, her small children at the time, to Mount St. Michael. I think it was either the late 70s or early 80s. And I could see, and this was well before I was ordained a priest, I could see her commitment to the faith and how she strove to live her Catholic faith, to live also the message of Fatima. It is no mere coincidence that today is May 13th, the day that we are laying her to rest. It is the anniversary of Our Lady's apparition at Fatima. And she came to bring us a message in a year that I am convinced is the most important year of the 20th century, 1917, for she told us what we needed to do to avert calamities. And she came to tell Catholics to live their faith, to amend their lives, to offer reparation, to pray the rosary. She did that. And for that, we are so grateful, for she was walking the right path to her salvation. Besides her faith, as I said, I saw how much she loved her children. And I can tell you now, even though I couldn't tell you earlier, in the private conversations I had with her, how she would give her life for her children. She loved them that much. And indeed, it shows us the love of a mother for her children. Again, no mere coincidence. She departed from our midst the day before Mother's Day. And what did we reflect upon on Mother's Day this last Sunday? We reflected upon the gift that God gave us of motherhood. A gift, a thing so precious, you might say, that He Himself wanted to have a mother. And indeed, in fact, had a mother. And the love of Christ extends so far and so infinitely that He even shares His mother with us. If He had not done that, we would have no right to go to Mary and say, "You are my mother." We could only call her queen. But because Jesus loves us so, He wants to share His mother with us. And we are in this beautiful month of our Queen and our Mother, the month of Mary. What makes motherhood so precious is what a mother is. It has been said with deserved reflection that in a man, love can tend to be an event in his life. But it's not so with a mother, because in a mother's life, love is her very essence. It's not just an event. It is who she is and what she does. And so we are blessed with the example of a mother who faithfully loved her own and would do anything that she could for them. The last time I saw Michelle, as you know, I most likely know, I've been gone for 2 weeks. I was privileged to be on a visit to many holy places in Italy. And I'm so happy to say that I could be back in time for the laying of her to rest, because I knew her and her family so well in life. But as I said, the last time I saw her was at a Sunday Mass, and she had had some serious health issues in the last couple of months, and she seemed to be on the rebound, but it wasn't meant to be. But as I think back to the last time I saw her coming up with her with her walker, it showed me her faithfulness. As long as she had the strength to do it, she was going to fulfill her Sunday obligation and receive our Lord with the love and devotion that she so much tried to have as she came to the communion rail. And what an example for us, faithfulness. And when we are in good health, especially, let us be inspired by those who really have to make that great effort because of sickness or age to get to Mass, and they inspire us by their faithfulness. She also suffered. She suffered a lot. But let us remember that God loves us too much to have an easy life. For an easy life would mean that much lower of a place in heaven. It would mean that much fewer opportunities for virtue. It would mean that many more less opportunities to grow in fortitude and to be purified and to be uplifted. I know he's not a Catholic author, but I really take a lot of inspiration from C.S. Lewis's quote when he talks about pain. He wrote a whole book about it called The Problem of Pain. And I think one of the most outstanding statements in that book is, pain is God's megaphone to reach a deaf world. And you see, my dear brethren, it is through pain, it is through suffering, it is through carrying the cross that God reaches us in ways that he would never reach us otherwise. It's not an end in itself to suffer, to have health issues and health problems and to suffer. I know she was battling a form of leukemia, among other things. It's not an end in itself, but it's a means to an end, and it's a means to love, to greater charity, to greater love of God and of our neighbor. So then we can truly say that love has a suffering has a transformative power in our lives, whether it be physical, whether it be mental or emotional, whatever it is, it has an uplifting effect like nothing else, to bring us closer to God and to help us grow in that holiness to which we are called. As I said, God loves us too much to not let that happen to us. It's a way to reduce our purgatory time as well. It's a way to be with Jesus and Mary in their sufferings. So we lay her to rest today, and we bless God for all of the graces that he bestowed upon her, that the edification that she gave through her life. She not only was a full-time mother, but also worked as a nurse and ministering to many people in her life. I remember her telling me how she really appreciated being able to work in neonatal wards where babies were born with health difficulties. And on occasion, she was even able to baptize in an emergency a little one. So those are blessings that she had in her life. I also know that she had an artistic side. And one of the things she had hoped, it wasn't meant to be in the fullness that she had wanted, but to develop the artistic abilities that she had, to share more that gift for art. And I remember reminiscing with her one day, and this is when I was the editor of The Reign of Mary, and I was able to do that, and how she's going to be our religious art editor, and just, She had that gift. She used it as she was able. But again, we can't reach everything we want in life. The important thing is that we keep trying. And one of the things that I hope that you all notice is an article that she contributed to the Reign of Mary. It was about the tragedy of abortion. Babies Wanted and Babies Slain was the title of that very powerful article. I saw a copy of it there in the vestibule. I hope you read it. A reminder of the importance and the sacredness, really, of every life that God creates. So we give, lay her to rest today. And remember, there are no pure accidents. Everything is meant to be. And today, as we offer this Requiem Mass, not only the sisters, but the high school students contributed in a major way to the singing of the Mass, giving us that very beautiful Panis Angelicus. She supported the school. She sent her children to this school. Again, there's no accidents. Everything's there for a reason. As we look back on our lives and the lives of others. And so the children are there. And did she ever love children? The children are here today as we have this day of her burial. One last point, an exhortation that we not forget the souls in purgatory. St. Francis de Sales wrote, "I fear the good opinion that people will have of me and let me languish in purgatory." That's a man who would be canonized a saint and a doctor of the church. So if he had that awareness of how strictly God does judge after we depart this life, it's a sentiment that we should all try to have. And let's not just say, you know, no purgatory. No, we know, we can't deny that. That's one of the dogmas of the Catholic faith. And let us be not remiss in our suffrages, in our masses, our good works, sacrifices, rosaries, and prayers that we offer for the holy souls. Let it be part of our very spiritual DNA, our fiber, that we love the holy souls in purgatory, that we often think of them and have good deeds offered on their behalf. And even though they may not need it anymore, which I'm sure happens, let's remember it goes to another soul that needs it. Nothing is ever wasted with God. So as we take great comfort from the Catholic life that she lived, her faithfulness to the very end, all of the good signs, let's remember the holy souls in purgatory. Keep praying for them and helping them to be released. So may Michelle, our beloved departed, may she rest in peace and all the faithful departed. And let our Catholic faith comfort and strengthen us in this time. It was her time when she was called. And let us pray that we be always ready and waiting for the Master when he says to leave this life, and may we hear those words, which I believe most heartfully were said to her, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in few things. I will now place thee over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and that perpetual light shine upon her. May she rest in peace.